people go so that they may worship me. And his word was, and his address to Pharaoh and anybody else who wanted to listen in, is, I have raised you up, here's the purpose of God, for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. There's curtains spread apart just for a moment to reveal us to us something of the purposes of the heart of God. Let me welcome you this morning as we come to Christ our Shepherd Church and we come to seek the Lord. And those scriptures really direct us in our worship this morning as we come to worship and to proclaim his name and to beseech him for a move of the Spirit of God in our days and in our time. Let me welcome you this morning. I said a couple of weeks ago, it's great to be back in September when everyone comes back and then blow me down. I'm so grateful, David, to you up there, and Nick came and bailing us out this morning with all our computer operators away. And John Holst, your friend from Slovakia, was it? And Larry? Yeah, Larry and his new brother, welcome. And Andrea, welcome this morning. We sent him out single and he came back married. All righty. Maybe we need one of those laying on hand sessions today. Join us as we pray. Father, we thank you for every expression of your heart. In all the expressions of our heart, Lord, we do not want to miss how you express yourself. In all our discerning, Lord, of our own needs by your Spirit, it is our desire today to discern the needs of the heart of God. And we thank you for this great desire in your heart that we will be free and we will grow to worship you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And we say to you today, Lord, we really want to be an obedient people. And therefore we want to respond to that first and greatest commandment to worship you and honor you. Now, Lord, we invite you to come by your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, quicken these mortal bodies. We pray that by your enlivening influence, you will take a hold of our spirits as we worship you today. We pray you will draw out from us something of the deep things of yourself that you've already put into us. Let there not be a mean spirit among us, Lord, in your presence this morning. I pray that you will take away every sense of the appearance of man or the fear of man or fleshly politeness, Lord. And we ask that we will honor you and give you your due, for you are worthy to be praised this morning. You are worthy to be praised. And we pray that our worship this morning in this Capitol Hill neighborhood will ascend and break through every restricting power. And we take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ against everything that would oppress and hinder and limit the enlargement of your life in us, on this geography and in our own hearts. And we declare this property and we declare our hearts this morning to be a kingdom of God's own, for God to be God and for him to do his work among us. And we choose to cooperate with you this morning as we declare you are indeed worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. Stand together as we come to worship the Lord.
Opportunities for us to continue to gather together outside of this morning. Most of them are in the offering, not a bulletin, but not all of them. Tonight, there is prayer for Israel. This is a regular occurrence, a monthly occurrence at the church. It begins at 6 o'clock. It will be in the church. So come and be a part of that. Immediately following the service today, we are bringing up munch lunches again. This is something we used to do way back. We're taking advantage of our downstairs area. And lunch is being served for everybody who stays afterward. The cost is $2 for adults, but children are free. So please stay for that. Especially if you're a visitor, it's a good chance to meet a lot of people and ask questions and find out about the church. Next week, we're beginning a newcomers class. And that doesn't mean you've necessarily decided that you are going to join the church, but you can come and be a part of the class. And at the end of the sessions, which is usually 3 or 4 sessions, then you are asked if you feel like you're ready to join this church. So if you're someone who's visiting, that will be after the service. It'll be at the Amendolia's house, and next week we'll have directions there. Also next week, if you are a college student, we've had a number of college students visiting, And we are offering a lunch after the service here next week for all college students. And if you want to bring some friends, that would be fine as well. There's one more thing coming up, and that's on Monday evening, is a Women of the Word, which is an ongoing ministry for women in the fellowship. That will be here Monday evening, and there's an insert for it in your bulletin. And you need to contact Kim Paterno. She's Steve's husband. His name and number are in the bulletin. He's one of the elders.
Wife, sorry.
That would be unusual. So contact her and be here for that. If you talk to any of the women in the church, they'll tell you those are very worthwhile events and always very meaningful. I'd like to ask the ushers to come down and take the offering. They will also be handing out to you an insert, which is going to be used during the sermon, just like last week. So take one of those as it comes by. Lord, we do honor you and we worship you. And we declare as we give you this offering that you are worthy of worship and praise and that we trust you alone. And Lord, we give cheerfully, grateful to be a part of your work. And Lord, as we give, we ask from our hearts that you would enable us to give more of our money, to give more of our lives, Lord. And we do ask you that you would come in and reorient our lives so that we can give more to you and serve you more, Lord, so that at the end of our days, we would stand before you with tears of joy for the way that you poured out our lives for your service and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, after the offering goes by, if you could please pass the blue books. And if you are a visitor or someone who's been here before but hasn't filled that out, as much information as you can put there, we can get information to you. We can get a mailing to you about the church. If you put your phone number, we can give you a call and see if you have any questions that you'd like to ask.
Thanks, Bo. While the offering is being taken, I hope I didn't scare people away from church today by telling them I was going to jump on them and ask them to publicly recite the scriptures we're committed to know, but I did notice one or two of you scurrying in your Bibles this morning doing your last minute homework. So why don't you just take a moment, and you may want to check out those three scriptures that we looked at last week, those fundamental non-negotiable scriptures that declare our purposes as the body of Christ. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and that description of a great community in Acts 2, 42 to 47. And I gave you that handout last week. There are some spare ones at the back if you've already lost it, but I need you to keep that in your Bible. That goes with you in your Bible. And I need you to know that inside out and to be able to take it and exegete it and teach it and explain it and explicate it and anything else beginning with X and ending in 8, those verses, so that you can declare the purposes of God according to the word for the church and for your own personal life. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Why don't you just check up on it a minute? Because I just may, you know, people are already doing deals with me. You know, I've already done a deal with one person this morning that I wouldn't ask them to stand up and recite this verse, but then, you know, it was a deal. So they're going to be doing something for me. Oh, negotiating power. All right. So take a quick look at it. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Acts 2, 42 to 47. How many of you got that sheet in your Bible still? Okay, guys, let's read it together. Let's do it together. Don't be embarrassed. Love the Lord your God with... Can't hear you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They gave to anyone as he had need. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2, 42 to 47.
And last week, we looked at the whole issue of the need for us to discover our purposes in God, not only in our own personal life, but also in our corporate life at the beginning of another church year. And I urged you to be responsive to what God is doing. What we said and declared in worship this morning is very significant, and I'm just letting you know that Sunday after Sunday, as we gather and meeting after meeting, there's going to be more of it and more of it and more of it and more of it. I find myself, I shared personally at the end of last service, such an urgency in my own spirit. How many read Pastor's letter this week? How many read it and thought that sounded a bit stronger than usual? That letter was not hard, but it was firm. And Jeremiah 12, it wasn't the letter I intended to write. Jeremiah 12 was impressed again on me, because there are different kinds of rivers. And we sing our songs about the river and the river flowing, and there is a river of God that I'll refer to a little later on. But Jeremiah 12 is about a river that is rising. And it says, remember, as I mentioned in the letter, if you are weary when you run against footmen, how are you going to contend when you have to run against horses? And if you are running against horses, how are you going to contend when the river of Jordan overflows its banks? And it's talking about an experience in which there is a flood and you lose your footing. And your own personal strength is not sufficient to hold you in what is going on. And it's also a warning. It's an image, as I explained in the letter, as the river rises, all the wild animals are flushed out the banks that they lived in during the summer months. And the wild animals start flushing everywhere and causing havoc in the surrounding villages and towns. And it's an image of the times. And we know this in our own life, and we know this in the city to which we are called. We know it everywhere we go. There's always a counterfeit, and for the river of God rising, there is a river that is rising, that is flushing out all manner of things, which of course God in His grace uses to convince us that we better be in His river. It's the only place, in fact, to stand. And in fact, we had a funny thing happen in our house. I was preparing yesterday afternoon, and I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, I can take the preparation, I love it. And I just found myself, just in my own, I just prostrate on the floor before God, which is the best place to spend most of your time, actually. And it's some interesting things are happening. And they will be expressed by the sanctifying of your affections and your emotions. I've said for weeks and months on the side in ministry in this body that I believe the prophecy of Jeremiah is a prophecy for today. And I've said from public platforms that the time is coming when we will stand to speak, and all there will be a spirit of weeping. God can do more articulately through our gruntled noises if we get in touch with the heart of God than He can do through the articulacy of our preaching and teaching in our own language. And God is absolutely committed by His Spirit to connect us with the affections of the heart of God, to the point that we keep saying more and more. And these are strategic times in our personal lives and the life of this city. It's confirmed from every quarter. And it is a time to be in the barracks of God's choosing, that you may be in the battle of God's choosing. And to be there with all your might. I've just really enjoyed the fresh object lessons that I've had in my own life of preparation for warfare in just watching my own son go through Marine boot camp. And I've said to the Lord, as I've watched him and seen what's happened in his life, I said, Lord, you know, just keep doing that in me. Keep doing it in me. And just as I was sitting there, I got a card, just a word, just a prophetic word from just passed through to me by Anne. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. There is a river moving through our city, joining church to church to church. And the river now may reach our ankles, but it will come to our knees and our shoulders until finally across the city we will be swimming together in God's river of life. You know, well, I'll get to it a little later if we get to it, but in 1994, well, let me just back up a bit. There is one thing that attracts the work of the Holy Spirit as much as anything else, and it is the people of God calling upon God. It is prayer. We meditated, didn't we, some time ago, that out of the book of Revelation, about that bowl of incense, which the book of Revelation says is the prayers of the saints. It's the bowl that is against the other bowl in the book of Revelation, which is the bowl of the wrath of God. And it's important to us to remember that when you think about the bowl of the wrath of God, there is a bowl of the prayers of the saints that God in his mercy will lovingly tip wherever those prayers have been raised. And you can trace and track any revival that you like, and it is a history of the people of God pressing through. And we shared a little last week, you know, all of us know something of that's why that Gideon passage is such a key strategic prophetic word to us as a body in Judges 6. We all know something of that experience of Gideon's men, which says they were faint yet pursuing. And this is a strategic time for the people of God in this city, though faint and weird, to keep pursuing. And I want to tell you, God's invitation and call to you and call to us in this city is not to lose heart at this stage. We are in far too deep to draw back. How many will say amen to that? Amen. And yet you know God owes us nothing. He owes us absolutely nothing. It's one of the mysteries of grace that he invites our participation and cooperation and response to our prayers and will do what he's going to do. And I want to encourage you. Two of the words that are characteristics of believers that are the least preached words in our age are the words perseverance and endurance. And one of my great prayers and longings for my own life and for yours and for this body is for a huge deposit of the Holy Ghost and empowerment that we will persevere and endure, and we are not going to stop until there is breakthrough in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I said to you last week, yes, we extol God's sovereignty, but we are committed to our surrender to that sovereignty. We are, yes, we believe God's word, but we are going to be committed to work. Yes, we believe in God's purpose, but we're going to respond with our purposefulness in God. Yes, we believe in the plans of sovereign God, but we are going to cooperate in a partnership in which he has invited us into. Yes, yea and amen to the concerns of God's heart, but we are going to give our hearts to a compassionate engagement in the work of the Lord. And the issue is urgent. But I think it's tremendously encouraging. And the words that are coming forth, and even the encouragement this morning, there is a courage, there is a time. And the longing of our hearts as we call on the Lord. 1994, there was a bowl of the living God that was tipped over a city called Toronto. And it was tipped. And it's still pouring. And in 94, a bowl was poured over, at least my it's lovely to have my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Viv and David, here. And David actually hails from the city of Newcastle in the northeast of England. And he will know better than any of us here that the northeast of England has been considered a graveyard for spiritual work all the way down through the century. Oh, God loves it. And where everyone said it was the graveyard, in 1994, there was an outpouring of the Spirit of God in Sunderland. And people from all over the world, who'd ever thought people from all over the world would go to the northeast of England, where the sun never shines? Although Newcastle United is a pretty good team to go visit. God is moving. And there is breakthrough. How many of you know it takes a significant, awesome outpouring of the power of God in present culture to break through? And God is breaking through in that area of England, which is some of the worst crime rates. I mean, there are huge areas of cities like Middlesbrough where the police will not even drive. But God ignores all those barricades and moves in. In response to the heart cries of a besieged and a beleaguered people who have held on for years and years. And in 1995, he tipped a bowl over Melbourne in Australia. Can anything good come out of Australia? Australia was a byword. Australia, the land we peopled with our convicts. Australia named the most purely secularist nation in the West. And God tipped a bowl over Melbourne. And as you know, half the songs we sung around the world in worship came out of Australia. Out of the filth came forth praise. And a bowl tipped over Pensacola. And a bowl tipped over Brownsville. And a bowl tipped over Indonesia. And God's in the bowl tipping business. How many believe that? Are you in the praying business? And there are bastions of principalities and powers in this city that make your blood curdle if you stop long enough to think about them. But I think there's something about this city that is such an invitation to the heart of God. How many of you believe that? There was something about Jesus that he couldn't resist, and he couldn't resist faith that was put in him to do something. There was no reason for him to turn water into wine. What a crazy miracle to launch your ministry on. How on earth do you explain that to the leper colony? How do you explain that to the blind, the deaf, and the dumb? Jesus, the miracle worker, is turning water into wine. What an apparent waste of the power of God. Well, it turns out to be the most incredible prophetic miracle you could ever dream of if you wanted to script it. But apart from all that, he saw Mary walking away in this crazy, impossible situation. And he said, do whatever he tells you. And he couldn't resist it. So he did it. When the Holy Spirit can't resist the crying heart, Jesus, the Jesus we know, can't resist the agonized cry for help. And you've probably found it, haven't you, that when you start to stretch yourself out before God and call upon God, you don't sound very articulate for a long, long time. But church, when we talk about discovering the purposes of God and the heart of God and discerning our own needs, none is greater than for us to seek the face of God. It's not a part-time business. And it's not about showing up at an occasional meeting. And the reason I was seeking to be so lovingly firm in the pastoral letter is when God is speaking and the call is going out, while it is today, do not harden your heart. And I'll tell you something, the word is going to go out in this city. We have choices whether we fill the pews or not, but the pews are going to be filled. And there will be a going out into the highways and the byways and a compelling by the Spirit of God to come in. And I think Jesus will do it the way he always did it. And it'll be those who will be least expected who will be there. May God bring it on. But I don't want to miss the day of his visitation, do you? And what we're about, and if you're visiting us today, welcome. But we're kind of, what I'm doing on these Sunday mornings is really setting up home group. I'm setting up the home groups for your time of relationship with each other and your seeking of God. But we are declaring that yes, we believe that God is working for us, but God Almighty wants to work through us in this place. And I said last week that we are unequivocally at this season as we seek the face of God, saying, God, we are available to you. No qualifications, and ifs or buts. And it is God's nature to grow things. Growth is the nature of God, it's the nature of the kingdom, it's the nature of the gospel, it's the nature of the church, and it's the nature of the Spirit's life. I've been going back in my Bible and notes over the last 3 or 4 years and just going through again words that the Lord has given and things that have been taught. And I found myself, having mentioned at the end of last week the story of Gideon, I went back to Judges 6 and reminded my soul of the word that the Lord gave us right on the eve of coming into this building. And in Judges 6, you don't need to turn to it, in Judges 6, you get this graphic description of the people of God called to be the people of God in a situation of tremendous oppression, tremendous pressure, as we read that the people of God ended up kind of living on the defensive, in a survival mode, in a minimalist mode, as Midian just seemed to walk all over the place and do whatever it wants. And it says in Judges 6, verse 6, that the Midianites impoverished the Israelites and just did whatever they wanted to do in the neighborhood with absolute audacity. Ring any bells? And besieged by that, the people of God were saying things like, "Why is this happening to us?" But there were some other good cries that came from their lips. And one of the cries that is most significant, and it is a cry that needs to be on our lips at the place of intercession before God. And it's interesting, when you track the history of revivals and the outpouring of God in cities, you will find a history of these cries going to God. A man who God has used mightily, a guy like Mike Bickle, for 7 years in Kansas, they prayed and sought God, grinding and cutting into the granite at the place of prayer before there was a significant outpouring of the Spirit of God. It's interesting, in a story like Toronto, John and Carol Arnott, extraordinary pastors of the work of God, seeking God. And at some point, God will bring us all to that place of desperation where He gets our attention and where there is something more important to us than even the afflictions of our own soul. So help us, God. But what they cry is, "Where are the wonders?" And it says, verse 6, they cried to the Lord. And the Lord sent them a prophet. And as you know, when the Lord, sometimes the answers to your prayers aren't always what you want, first off. And the first word out of the prophet's mouth was a word of warning and a word of discipline. It was actually a word of judgment before it was a word of mercy. And a word of encouragement. "You have not listened to me," was the word of judgment. How many of you are not interested in business as usual? I'm not interested in business as usual. I am interested in fulfilling what God has called me to do. But you know what? There are changes going on in what God is calling some of us to do. And some of those changes are because we are choosing to align our lives with the purposes of God. Kind of changes things. I don't get any personal satisfaction or buzz from coming into a pulpit and teaching and preaching week after week. I love to teach. It's a passion of my life. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love it. But I don't have to do it right now in my life. Now, don't get worried, I will do it. But I can only do it, and I only ever have wanted to do it, out of what Tozer used to call the pressure within. None of us want to be spending any time in our life rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as the saying goes. I'm not interested in reactiveness to disaster. I'm not interested in human coercion. But I am interested in calling you to be sensitive to what God is saying by His Spirit to the church in these days, and to run with it. And it's interesting that when the people of God got to that point in their city to plead with the living God, God answers them. And He doesn't interrogate them. They were the ones doing all the interrogating. They were the ones, you know, putting God on the rack, asking Him all the questions. And God comes to them and He just says, go. He just commissions them right there and then. He says, go. He gives a word of commission. He follows it up immediately with a word of comfort that they didn't want to hear. You're really a mighty warrior. And He gives them a word of command. And you remember, we spent some time looking at that whole issue where God said, am not I sending you? The issue isn't, the emphasis is not on the state, the weakness, the equipment of the one being sent. How many of you know if we waited to be perfectly equipped, we would never leave the tents? How many, say amen if you're like me, you'd never leave the tents. And the word of the Lord to the body of Christ is, go in the strength that you have. And by the way, this is fundamental to a move of the Spirit, and it's fundamental to growth. It's interesting, isn't it, that the widow who was told to bring the pots in to fill them with the oil, the flow that we've been singing about, the flow was related to there being something to fill. Now think about that for a minute. One way to look at that is, if we are not going and engaging the emptiness, there's no reason for a flow. I believe that about the miraculous. I don't think healing, the gift of healing, is free welfare medicine for believers. The passion of my heart right now is, I'm desperate for God, like all of you, for a manifestation of the wonders of God. And God's speaking some very interesting things about healing ministry within this body. And bringing people in with significant healing ministries, by the way. But people who don't know Jesus get healed, because the miraculous and the wonders and the signs for those who don't know Jesus gives a revelation really of who Jesus is, which is an invitation to repentance and finding out who God is and really loving Him and getting on with it. How many of you like those kind of miracles? And the word of the Lord to us, to Gideon, as to Gideon confronting this tremendous pressure, the first thing was what was shared in a prophetic word that Elizabeth gave during worship. And the very first thing that was said, which was a fundamental need, you talk about discerning our needs, a fundamental need in preparing for a visitation of God. We are being called to prepare for a visitation of God. That's all I'm interested in. The word of the Lord that's going out even through our neighborhoods and our churches is, get ready. Prepare yourself. And we have a choice as to whether we're going to be wise or foolish. Virgins, as it were, as to how we prepare. And the first thing that had to happen with Gideon was putting things right in his own household and bringing down the Baals in his father's house. And I know there's been a precious work of the Spirit in household after household, even in our own body. But you know something? I think the work of God, he so loves us. He doesn't want to leave a household unturned or a life unturned. And some of those remnant root issues, and some of those clothings of rejection and abandonment on people's lives, the Lord wants to take off in order to put on Himself. And it's interesting that it is as Gideon dealt with the issues of his own needs and household, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and literally canopied him, preparing for engagement. And yet he was still afraid. Isn't that interesting? He didn't become a Rambo. He didn't become a super cosmopolitan global minister of the gospel. He was still nervous and didn't know much, but the Spirit of God was on him. And then God says, I can do it with the small band. And he says, there are 135,000 Midianites, 32,000 Israelites. That's still too many for the job I want to do. And he gets it down to 300. He's left with 1% of the original workforce. And why do I mention this morning? Because in all our study and talking home groups about discovering the purposes of God and discerning our needs and seeking God for our priorities, let me tell you something. This is a crucial time in our lives and in our church life to do all that we know how to do, so help us God, with every effort that we have and every breath that we have. But at the end of the day, in preparation and the welcoming of a move of the Spirit of God, we have to let God do the organizing. We are called to cooperate and not control. And my word to you and encouragement to you this morning is get on your knees and discern what God is doing more than meet in meetings and decide what we should do. Let's discern what God is doing. And what is interesting in that story is he still doesn't know much. He still hasn't had a revelatory dream. There's all sorts of things that haven't been confirmed to him at the place of assurance. But before he's got all of that, it says at that point, it's the first time we hear, Gideon worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. And that's why I was encouraging you in that letter. That in response to the word of the Lord, we're not arranging meetings here because we think it's a good idea. The starting of New Wine was something that the Lord put on our heart for this neighborhood and was confirmed by two distinctive prophecies from people right outside the church, even to the time and the purposes. And by the way, I invite you to be here next New Wine, October the 15th, when another church that we're building relationship with in Southwest is coming to join us. I would love every member of this church to be here to welcome you, but if you are not, the pews will be filled by other people. And I don't want you to have to wait in line to get a seat. Really? Are you being sincere, Stuart? So be there. But don't neglect those places where we gather to seek the face of God and call upon his name. And I'll tell you, dear, we need each other to learn that process. There is that which we need at the place of soul. I was talking to Jim this morning. There was the women, some of the members of our congregation involved in a prayer walk, and just incredible feedback and reports from that time of prayer, walking the streets, aligning with another church, the Living Word Fellowship, and walking the streets and seeking their good and praying for a move of the Spirit of God in Southwest. By the way, Southwest D.C. is an incredibly neglected area. You talk about Southwest D.C. to some people, they don't even know D.C. has a Southwest. They don't know where those pockets are. God is putting a real burden on that Southwest area, on us in the church here. And there's been a word of the Lord that we're going to expand into the Southwest and into that area. But it's so thrilling to get the feedback of what is happening at the place of prayer and the place of worship. Dear hearts, will you be there when God says, come up? Or the word of the Lord we heard this morning, get up. And when it comes to preparing for a move of God, Scripture is full of great examples. The example of Gideon, the example of David that we've taught through. And it's not enough just to teach it 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If it isn't done, let's go back and let's go back to square one and let's work it into our spirits all over again. Otherwise, it's a head knowledge. It isn't set on fire by the Spirit and converted into action by the Holy Ghost. Put your house in order. It's the word of the Lord. Put your house in order. And come, you're a candidate for being clothed with the Spirit of God and cooperate with the divine processes that are going on in your life right now. Or like a David later on, preparing for a visitation of God in the nation of Israel. All he was doing was his business. All he was doing was taking lunch to his brothers. I mean, how pathetic is that in the great scheme of military warfare? And all he did was, all that God calls us to do as we prepare for an engagement with the Spirit of God is be as faithful as you can be in the place that God has presently put you on the line. He had no idea in delivering that lunch he was going to be catapulted into a place of public ministry. And one of the extraordinary things in the turning point of the nation of Israel. He didn't know that while Goliath and all that opposed the work of God were standing there so brazenly, while he was in the crouched position by a stream, which if you like is the prayer position, isn't it? The word of the Lord, basically church, the word of the Lord is get into the crouch position. Get into the crouch position in your life. Your plans are great. Your plans have potential. Don't depend on someone else to do the praying. Get in the crouch position and take the stones. Appropriate to yourself the present abilities and gifts that God has given you now and appropriate them in his work. It only takes one stone to get a Goliath when it's ordered by the sovereign and the living God. Get ready. There are three areas of need we're going to invite you to discern as you gather in the home groups this week. First area is the area of personal need, your own personal needs. And this may not always be for public consumption, but I'm letting you know now because I think it's a process. I want to urge you. I just respond to this request. I want to urge you to start to do in your own seeking of God this week. I'll tell you what you might want to do. You might want, just sitting there, to start writing a personal prayer list before God of what you discern as your personal needs. But when you've done that and got to the end of that, stop for a while and settle in the presence of God and start to listen and ask God to speak to you. I remember the first time I did that as a 16-year-old, late teenager, in a meeting where God was moving by Spirit. I fessed up and I wrote out all my needs that I thought for them and then stopped. And it was interesting when the Spirit of God started to speak to me, showed me things about my life and heart, blew me away. God's after a thorough work, cleansing of the heart, the mouth, the thoughts, the whole lot. Discern our needs. The second area we're going to engage as we gather together in small groups is discerning the needs of this community. We need holy discernment about the needs of this community. And it's not just, there are the obvious things, but there may be things that we still need to discern. Not because we talk long enough about it and have great ideas, but because we seek God together. We can't discern the needs of the community. It'd be hypocritical if we haven't discerned the needs of our own heart. We need to align our hearts with the purposes of God if we're to minister to the needs of the community. And the needs of this church, a discerning of the needs of this corporate body, those three strategic areas, the weighing of our character, the seeking of God about our capabilities, our understanding, and our relationships. There are three things that I want to Velcro in your heart. Three needs. I'm going to let you this week in the home groups do all the talking about those needs, but I've only got 20, 30 minutes when I talk to you here. It frustrates the tar out of me these days. My heart is too full to dump even 5 minutes, so I might as well just sit down and cry. But there are three words I want to leave with you as you go into home group this week. Three desperate needs. The first one, I'm going to use the word beseech. I'm using it because it's a lovely old-fashioned, authorized version word. And sometimes the word pray, pray, it loses all its significance. You know, pray, pray, another pray. Beseech the Lord your God. You all heard the slogans, God does nothing but by prayer. I believe there is a groundswell of desperation in the heart of the people of God, and I want to be part of it, do you? Again, God not owing us anything. We're going to do it because God has called us to do it. In an hour when you think not. In an hour when you think not. No one knew at a meeting in a little town of Canada that a passing comment from the person preaching, from the pastor, to a young woman in the congregation when he said, "The joy of the Lord is upon you, darling." the fountains of her heart would start to be broken up, and she would start to laugh. No one knew the hour. Watch ye therefore. Be a wise virgin with your jar full and ready, watching and waiting. The first need is beseech the Lord your God. Second need in all this, this is very practical and pastoral, is the word bless. It is very important at a moment when you are seeking God and we are calling upon God for revival in our personal life, in our church life, and in our city, to be absolutely committed to bless everything that God is doing. To be open to what God is doing. Where you see God moving, bless it. It might rattle your cages a bit. It might not be how you've seen business. It might not be your denominational background. But bless what God is doing. Don't hold your soul back. Bless it. And the third word is very simple. It's a great need, and it's a word about belief, and it's a word about the exercise of spiritual faith. Believe God for more than you have tasted. That is, those three things are freshly pinioning my feet in this city. And I'm going to hold on to God. Believe. I was reading about a group of guys. In fact, David, we sang one of the songs from David Rice this morning. It was the pastor of the church that David Rice was at. And they went away, these guys went away to a ski cabin for about 8 days to try and write a vision statement. And what happens to most people. They were word crafting and they're all disagreeing about what word this and what word that and all the rest of it. And who will we offend and does it relate us with them? I mean, just round and round in circles. And in the end, after about 8 days, one of them turned to this really disheartened pastor and said, oh, they decided to all write their own personal vision statement. And they all went off and wrote their personal vision statement. And the pastor of the church David Rice was at, David Rice, by the way, is a fearsome servant of the Lord. They came to the pastor and they said, well, what's your vision statement? Because the pastor's the one who's meant to come up with it, right? And he got out his piece of paper and he said, more! Sorry, you can laugh. How many of you resonate with that? How many of you can resonate with that? More. 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 Hang, I've splashed around in water and ankles, but more. 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 Church, it's time to discern the heart. It's time to discern the times. It's nothing scary. It's the invitation of God. What could be safer than God saying, come up to me, come into me, talk back to me, catch my heart in this thing. Catch it. There are two things that we are committed to in the leadership of this church at the season of church life. I'll use two different images to illustrate it. The image of water that we sang today, the image of river, is a biblical image, talking about the water, the river of God. But you know, rivers need somewhere to flow, don't they? Otherwise, they're just big, messy puddles. There are two things we're committed to. We're committed to call you and personally seek God with all our hearts to say, God, in this city, in this Capitol Hill neighborhood, at Capitol Hill Baptist, and WCF, and Pilgrim Baptist, and AME, and People's Church, and all around, wherever. And you don't need to strike here first, Lord. Anywhere will do. We'll go to where you are. Anywhere will do. But we're also committed to building the irrigation channels for the water to flow. That's what Care Company is about. I've had a great week. You know, talking to Don and some of the and the team emerging for the outreach at Potomac Gardens and Valley Green. Katie, with this vision the Lord has given her for reaching junior high school girls in this neighborhood. That's building the irrigation. You see, we need the channels for the river to flow. That was one of the last words of John Wimber to the Vineyard denomination. Keep digging the channels for the river to flow. Be part of God's irrigation system. The team prayer walking down in Southwest, digging a channel. The women who are planning the Alpha course to reach out to young mums with kids and au pairs and nannies in this neighborhood to come into an Alpha course and coffee and for the kids to be looked after, digging a channel. I was talking to someone at the end of the service a couple of weeks ago who was explaining to me that because of their schedule and their work at nights, they couldn't do this, that, and the other. And then these words came out of this person's mouth that were music to my soul, because we've been praying about digging a channel to the senior citizens that have been left behind by the churches that have moved out, that are all around this neighborhood. And this person said to me, but you know, God's given me a heart to go and visit the homes of those who are the senior citizens. Digging a channel. Those who are out researching in how we can support the ministry to AIDS patients in their homes. Digging a channel. Digging the channels for the river to flow. It's the only thing that makes sense of a visitation of the Spirit of God, which is the ministry and the impartation of gifts. Refreshment for a weary people of God, the impartation of gifts for something, for empowerment, for service. And it is the ministry of God to your soul that is for the mercy of God that we were talking about this morning, to the souls of those that need it. Fundamental strategy of God. You know, I look out at your faces and visions that God is giving you, so many of you. You're someone in the congregation who God has given a big vision to. I mean, I love it. It's so big, it's ridiculous. I mean, it basically, you know, in this person's mind, to put it modestly, is taking on the social services. Well, how many think that might be a great idea? The time is ripe for a move of God. You know, we've got candidates in this campaign acknowledging that the cheapest way, I like it, it's always economics, but who cares? The cheapest way is to get the best results if it's done in relationship with the faith community. Well, we've known that all along. And in fact, it can get even cheaper when God does amazing miracles of healing that cut out certain doctor's fees. But that kind of economics makes sense to the pagan mind. Well, then fine, let's go down that channel. I've talked to people who've been coming into this church. We've been praying for God to send us the gifts for what God wants to do. I have never had more conversations about healing ministry than I've had in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just sharing that with you. God is digging channels. He is cutting channels. Prayers that we have prayed about God bring to us churches and congregations that we need that can lead us and teach us. And this Val Lundquist and Kathy were invited to go and teach on prayer at this Living Word Fellowship. And they taught the church, and then they went to prayer walk with them, and God is giving us relationships. He's digging channels. I want two things. I want the river, and I want the channels for the river to flow down. If you're in for that, say amen. Amen. But it's the same thing for the fire image. If you prefer the image to fire to the image of water, same thing. The only thing that keeps a fire burning is what? Fuel. There's got to be fresh wood. And there's one thing that dams up and kills a move of the Spirit of God, is where there is no reaching out and going out and get fresh wood. So whether you want to use the fire image that needs fresh wood, or you want to use the river that needs the channels, God's word and his call to us is the same. But the starting point is beseeching the Lord our God. And I need you to be kind to me, church, at this season of my life. I need you to be gracious to me and loving and kind. I think you know that over the years, I don't think there's any argument. We are committed to the grace of God. Amen? Amen? We are deep into the grace and the mercy of God. But when God says get up, we need to get up. And I am letting you know that as I seek God, I don't want to miss on one thing that God has called my life to. Or four. But I can apply all this to me personally. But I can't just do that. Because I also feel a responsibility and a commitment to love you and flock you. And so if you want to love me, I'm declaring to you the needs of my heart. When the call goes out to seek God, when the call goes out to come to one place with one voice, to unashamedly amidst all this demonic oppression, to say God is God and we are here and we are going to call into question every binding power of every arrogant enemy. Come. Come. Even if I'm talking to someone this morning and you don't even really like being in a place of worship, come and get loosed by the Spirit of God. Come and have the fountains of the deep broken up. Just for once, it'll be worth it. Come and let your voice be raised. We need to hear each other's voices. You don't need to hear my voice. We need to hear each other's voices as we pour out our hearts before God and seek Him. When we say, come, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, come, Stuart. Come, Matt. Come, Katie. Come, Elizabeth. Come, Steve. Come, Jean. Come. The Lord's trumpet is sounding a clear sound in our day and our generation. And I know on the horizon, and I've been in these pastors' prayer meetings, and I know what it's like. You feel like you're digging in the rock, but I'm telling you, there is water coming out of the rock. And we are not going to stop and not going to let go because God has promised us a flood. He has promised us a flood. And I have told the Lord, He doesn't owe me anything, but man, I'd love to see it. And I'd love to be changed by it. And I'd love to be part of it. So let's keep getting our households in order. Let's keep living like we're preparing for a visitation of the Spirit of God. Amen, church? I see Bill, you know, another irrigation channel being cut. Bill Shobin, I met this week. Bill is contacting, the Lord's opened a huge door to the police force in 1st District. We've got a word out to pastors in the area to meet with a chaplain of police, Chaplain Short, to give us entrance. To drive the cars at night. To be able to say, we will go. We will pray in the areas that you have a hard time driving in. And discern after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Another irrigation channel being cut. You sweet dear hearts, Celia and I, some of you were at the Soviet jury meeting on the hill. And those working amongst the persecuted and the oppressed, channels being cut for the river of God to flow. Amen? SSM, all of it. These are channels being cut for one purpose, and that is revival and people coming to Christ. And the ultimate success is the great purpose of God being fulfilled, which is men and women born again by the Spirit of God, sanctified, delivered, Jesus glorified in their life, and getting ready to work for the Master for the whole of eternity. I'm coming through, Lord. I'm coming through. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be doers of your word, Lord. It's one thing, Lord, for us to say that we believe there's a Kairos moment coming for this city. It's another thing, Lord, to align our purposes with your purposes. By our nature, Lord, we confess to you yet again, we have small hands and we grab everything we can. We are small-minded by our nature, O Lord. We are faithless. We are fickle. We are unbelieving. But our vision statement in your presence in this city is for more, Lord. And we basically are saying to you, unashamedly, if you do not go up with us, we cannot go up. But we know you are for us. We know, Lord, as you give us the big headlines of your heart, you're not going to neglect the small things. And we ask you, Lord, to be obedient and faithful in the small things, the important things, the warp and woof of our life, in being the husbands you want us to be, and the fathers, and the friends, and the workers, and all the rest of it. Prove our obedience in these places, but Lord, we're asking for more. And Lord, I cry out to you, as we stand in this city, as we stand here together in the church, Lord, sometimes we feel like we're in the middle of a dry and a thirsty land, and therefore we cry to you, O Lord. We ask for that work in our hearts and in our churches here on the hill. And I pray this for every church on the hill and for the city. Lord, Lord, come like the dew, come like the summer rain, come like the river, come like the flood. And Lord, I pray for us as a church congregation. If there's any sound of hammers, Lord, let it be almost like Noah building the ark at a crazy time in order for the flood that is to come. And I pray, Lord, we'll keep digging these irrigation ditches. Give us discernment and revelation in where you want the irrigation ditch dug into this community for the river to flow. If the river does not flow, Lord, all we've got is holes in the ground. And we tell you this morning afresh, Lord, as we embrace your purposes, and as we come before you in the homes this week, I pray for every home group, Lord, as we get on our knees to discern the needs of our own heart and this community and the church, will you give revelation by the Holy Spirit? Will you give knowledge and wisdom? Will you give prophetic insight, O Lord? Will you edify, comfort, strengthen, and build up the body of Christ in house to house? I pray, O Lord, for an unprecedented engagement in home group this week and for an engagement with your heart. And Lord, we pray that you will put in our mouths some of those groanings that are in your own heart for this people, for our own church, and for this neighborhood. And we confess to you, Lord, we have not pressed in. And we ask that you'll empower us to press in and hold on to you. Will you garrison our heart and minds, Lord? I submit to you, Lord, my feeble heart this morning and my fragile affections, Lord. I am no doubt the neediest man in this congregation. And I ask you, Lord, for your great name's sake, for the sake of Jesus, your Son, we ask that you will reveal yourself. And I cry again to you this morning, get yourself a name in the city. I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know the when will be brilliantly on time and the how will be glorious. But we would not be a people that have not because we ask not. I could not bear that, O Father. None of us could bear that. Therefore, come, Lord Jesus, and start to brood over this city. Let it be cut by a knife in this neighborhood. And we pray for that spirit of boldness to come upon us, that there will be prophecy of the proclamation of the name of the Lord. Come like rain. Come down on our hearts. Come down on our church. Come down on the city as we do your purposes and discern the needs of our own heart. But help us to discern the needs of your heart. So help us, Holy Ghost. Stand with me as we close our service and sing, Holy Spirit, rain down. Let that be our prayer. Let that be our cry this morning. Intercede this. Cry it out with all your strength and soul and mind.
let your power,
let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word.
Holy Spirit, rain down. Together, Noah.
Of the word this morning, just where you're standing, don't be ashamed about it. You put words to it. I can't take responsibility for your life and longing for God. I have to take that for mine, and that's frankly a full-time job for me right now. So just where you're standing, unashamedly, I want you to speak forth your longing and your desire of God. Personalize it to you. Personalize it to your own heart right now where you stand. Let Him hear your voice. Beseech Him for your own heart and your own household and your own neighborhood and city. And I just want to speak a word. Some of you may feel this week. There may be a point when you come to prayer and you're actually going to feel a physical pain within you. It's going to feel like a blockage in your intestine. It's going to be a physical pain. And I want you to understand what that pain is when you come to seek God. And it's going to be, it's letting you know that there is a burden in you to be birthed. It's an intercessory burden, and it can't be locked up. And I pray for you for blessing, but I pray for you for the release of that pain. And I am telling you, some of you are going to feel it this week if you get to the place of prayer. Give birth to that pain and that burden at the place of prayer this week in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift your voice and just ask the Lord to work in you and rain down on you. Tell Him you're not where you want to be. Tell Him you can get a whole lot hungrier and a whole lot thirstier. Tell Him you're going to seek Him with all your heart, with all your soul and mind, with all your strength.
Rain down.
change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy
Bye.
to